Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelsang.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Lift off. Falcon 9's clear the towers. GC, move to section 10.59 to secure the pad.
Stage 1 operations.
Welcome to a special edition of the Not Old Better Show. We're going to be talking to SpaceX President and Chief Operating Officer Gwynne Shotwell. We're going to talk about today's rocket launch, and it is on schedule for about 10 o'clock in the morning, Pacific Standard Time. We're going to talk a little bit about Gwynne Shotwell's expectations for the company SpaceX, last year's rocket explosion on the launch pad at Cape Canaveral, and how soon SpaceX projects to be sending humans to Mars. Join us today for the Not Old Better Show interview with SpaceX Gwynne Shotwell. You probably remember last September 1st, 2016, SpaceX, which is really a space transport company, began its launch preparation series in Cape Canaveral, Florida, and had a massive rocket explosion. We're going to talk to Gwynne a little bit about that, get a sense for what it's been like since then, and the general level of anticipation and expectation that Gwynne and her team feels with the launch this Saturday today of the Falcon 9 rocket. Of course, SpaceX is eager to regain their momentum and return to flight. You've really got the big launch scheduled for this Saturday, Gwynne, and we appreciate your time today. So tell us a little bit about the mood. How anxious are you? How expectant? What's the general buzz around SpaceX right now? I'm thinking about, of course, what's happened and what's about to happen. Is the whole team just crazed getting all of this together?
Yes, I'm excited. I'm anxious. I'm losing my mind. This will be a tough flight for us. Coming back after our event on September 1st, but we've got a great customer. Iridium's a great customer. We've been working with them for, my goodness, 6 years so far. But it is actually a difficult flight, regardless of the return to flight element. There are 10 satellites that we have to deploy, and there's actually 3 upper stage burns.
So with this Saturday's rocket launch, tell us a little bit about the goal of Falcon 9, and what exactly is the purpose?
So this is to launch the Iridium, the first set of Iridium satellites for their second generation constellation. So this is basically a constellation launch. We put 10 satellites in orbit. We have 6 more launches after this with 10 satellites each. So we'll basically be putting those 70 satellites into orbit, and that will form a data network for the Iridium customers.
Okay, you mentioned, you know, what happened last time. Is there more pressure on you and SpaceX as a result of what took place back in September?
I think there is, but I have to be honest with you, every launch is a nerve-wracking, emotional, significant emotional event. But I think this flight will be a little more nerve-wracking.
And then what was it that you learned? What was it that SpaceX learned from what happened?
We learned a huge amount about the helium bottles that we have in the second stage, actually the first and second stage. The failure ended up being quite subtle. We had to have a lot of test data and a lot of pretty high fidelity analysis to figure out what happened. So we learned the behavior of these bottles. And in the end, we've modified the way we load the propellants on the rocket and the helium. And in addition, we learn more about the hardware, which is always good. You know, whenever you have a failure, it's a bigger failure if you don't learn from it and kind of modify your operations and your technology going forward.
And you know, when I think about SpaceX, I think it's interesting about this business to the extent that when things go wrong, it's easy to spot them. But when things go right, it's really just this amazing combination of elements. What was it that you had to do to make sure that this particular launch was better, different than the one in September. And so I guess the other question really is, how hard is it to be doing what you're doing? I mean, this is rocket science, after all.
I think it's really hard. And the 5,000 or so people that we have at SpaceX know it intimately. A million things have to go right in order to have a successful launch, literally. And only one thing has to go wrong to have a really particularly bad day. It's really hard. It is rocket science. And I'm sure all our customers feel that, too.
And so what's the ultimate goal here, both with Saturday's launch as with future? How many launches do you have to have done in order to really prove this business model?
So our business model has worked already for us. Obviously, when you have a failure in a year, it makes the financials a little bit difficult. But we've made a very successful business, even to date. It's been a very successful business. As far as how many rockets do we want to launch per year, it varies by year, but certainly we want to increase our cadence. We wanted to launch about 16 to 18 last year. We obviously didn't do it because of the September 1st event. This year, we hope to launch 20 to 24 and then increase maybe 50% annually. And then ultimately, we hope that the number of launches that we launch in a year is not the metric that people care about. It's more like, do you think about how many flights United Airlines does? No. What you think about is, how on time are you? How reliable are you?
And from what I read and from what I've learned about the company, you have about 70 launches planned, and that's about $10 billion in expected revenue, and that revenue is just literally backlog.
Yeah, I think we've got about $10 billion worth of business in backlog, which is about 70 launches. Plus, there's some development. There's some development dollars in there too. So all of those are not for launches, or all the $10 billion is not for launches. But we have a healthy backlog of business. Our customers have appreciated the work that we've put into this vehicle, and certainly are looking forward to getting flown this year and next.
I think there are certainly those in my audience who will remember that rocket going up, coming back down, and landing right exactly where it was supposed to land in the ocean. That was an incredible effort. And that, of course, brought with it all of this discussion of reuse. And so when is it that you think you're going to be able to launch a rocket, bring it back to Earth, and then effectively reuse it?
So we actually plan on reusing one of those stages this year, upcoming here in a month or so. We're going to be flying a pre-flown first stage for the SES-10 mission, just coming up here this spring, basically. As far as doing it as soon as you land, taking it over to the launch pad and reflying it again, we might be a couple of years away from that, but that's certainly the intent as well.
So Gwen, let's go back just a little bit and focus on something that you said just a moment ago, and that is regarding SpaceX's mission. We, over the last couple of years, have focused on Falcon 9. This, of course, this launch is Falcon 9. You've talked a little bit about the customer relationship, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But I wonder if you could tell us, what is the long-term mission for SpaceX? What is it that you hope to accomplish here with this company?
So reuse is critical for a couple of reasons, actually for three reasons. We were founded to take people to other destinations and other planets. If you're not able to reuse hardware, it's either a one-way trip, which is not great. That's not what we're...
Right. I certainly know I don't want to go on that one, and probably not too many people are going to be willing to do
that.
That's
right. Or you basically have to learn how to build rockets at your destination to fly back. So recoverability, rapid recoverability and full reusability is really what's key in order to allow humans to travel to other destinations. So ultimately, after we get humans to Mars, there's going to be another goal.
So that's after that, quote, you know, that little thing?
After that little thing, there'll be another thing. But right now, I would say our vision or our sights are set on putting boots on the ground on Mars. And then after that, we'll still be in business. Hopefully we do that within the next decade or decade and a half.
So, okay, let's talk about that then. So realistically, when do you hope that you can accomplish that goal?
The timelines have more to do with money invested and how much you spend to do it. With the right amount of money, we can do it in 8 to 10 years. if we were to do it completely on our own, it would take us a little bit longer.
That being getting humans on Mars. And so I imagine that that next step really is going to involve astronauts in rockets that SpaceX is launching, and that's going to have to be in further partnership with NASA.
So we're working with NASA to make sure that our crew offering is as safe as it can possibly be. Keep in mind, when the capsule is on top of the rocket, we basically have a shield, which is a heat shield and a blast shield, that separates the capsule from the Falcon 9 launch vehicle, which provides additional safety to the astronauts inside. In addition, the strategic difference between a capsule like Dragon that takes cargo to the International Space Station and a capsule that takes people was the incorporation of a launch escape system. That system is there solely to ensure that if there were to be a terrible event on the rocket, that the capsule can get away quickly to save the lives of the astronauts. We did a really extraordinary test. I'm pretty sure you can see the video on YouTube of a Dragon capsule getting out of the way at our launch pad in Cape Canaveral. We kind of simulated a launch failure on the pad, and the capsule moved away very quickly. Quite the Disneyland ride.
So thanks for that. And as you're describing that, I was thinking to myself, we'll put a link up to that video, that YouTube video. We'll also show some of the diagrams that you're mentioning, referring to the heat shield and the capsule and how it actually is pulled a bit away from the capsule itself. So thanks for that. You know, every company, every organization has setbacks. So given the progress that SpaceX has made, how do you feel about where you're at present and the technology that you've developed?
So putting delays to our customers aside, that obviously is hugely impactful to them, and I don't like that part about setbacks and failures. But if you look at what SpaceX has accomplished in the 14 and a half or so years that we've been, actually nearly 15 years that we've been in business, we've accomplished extraordinary things. We're the only company that's ever landed vertical takeoff, vertical landing of a vehicle that ultimately took something to space. We're the only people that have ever landed a first stage or a booster on a drone ship. So landing at sea. We've developed many versions of the Falcon 9 launch vehicle. We stand ready to launch the Falcon Heavy. It'll be the largest rocket flying these days. Once we fly that, which should be about mid-year. We've got the Dragon capsule that has taking regular cargo to the International Space Station. This is all in really a very short period of time, starting from scratch. This company wasn't started with a bunch of technology that we brought in. We started all of this from scratch, and it really makes me happy for the 5,000 or so folks that work here. They're doing great work.
Yeah, again, thanks for that. That's really fascinating, especially about all the technology. So talk to us about what launch day is like for you. Where are you going to be? How do you kind of organize that between you and, of course, the CEO, Elon Musk? What is the kind of the plan?
So Elon and I split up. If he's at the launch site, I stay here. I'm in mission control. If he's here in mission control, I tend to go to the launch site and sit with customers. I don't have a particular function with the actual op. I'm there in case there's issues or any sort of emergency to help facilitate dialogue, conversation, and communication. I do like to be with customers on launch day, just to make sure they feel part of the event and understand exactly what's going on.
Uh-huh. So when it comes to the customers, and immediately I thought about them and their expectations for launches, especially after setbacks. What is it that customers are saying to you about those kinds of events, those setbacks specifically? Have you actually had a customer come to you and said, look, this is just a bit too dangerous. We just don't know if we can participate in this any longer. The technology is not quite there. We're going to need to delay ourselves.
So no customer has said that. We did have one customer after this event basically take a backup option to fly on another vehicle, and we would then fly a future satellite under that contract. So we've actually never lost a customer. And that's not that unusual in the industry. Many providers or many satellite manufacturers or satellite operators, telecommunications operators, many of them by backup launch. It was very common 5 or 6 years ago, and it's starting to be common again, actually.
So what you're really finding then is the customers are aware that this isn't, that this space travel, these rocket launches, aren't 100% certain every single time.
Frankly, they understand better than we and our employees. I think they are much more understanding and not and maybe patient about the situation rather than us.
So SpaceX is actually harder on itself than really anyone else.
We were harder on ourselves than our customers are. Actually, that's the right way to
put it. Yeah, well, that's good. That's exactly the way you make progress. And so. Thanks so much, Gwen. We, of course, have been with Chief Operating Officer of SpaceX, Gwen Shotwell. The Falcon 9 launch is scheduled for Saturday, January 14th. And we're going to have a bit more on SpaceX on the blog site. So please check it out at notoldbetter.com. Thanks for joining us today in this special episode.